Thank you for joining us, David Mittling with Spectral Space. We're going to have an interview for Apogea Spatial. It's an executive interview, and we are really excited you're here.
All right. Well, thank you, Myrna. It is my pleasure to be here. I'm happy to talk to you today about our company, Spectral, and tell you all about the world of quantum communications.
Very exciting. First, let's share a little bit about your background, David. I know that you were with BridgeSat for many years and actually on the founding team there as well. Share a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, so my background is with the space industry. I've been over 20 years working at major satellite manufacturers, including, you know, big corporate giants like Hughes, now Boeing, Orbital Sciences, now Northrop, and SSL, now part of Maxar. Before transitioning about 6 years ago to a startup called BridgeSat. And now BridgeSat's also renamed to BridgeCom, by the way. You know, there's this explosion in the space industry in what we call new space, where there's venture capital coming in to new and innovative ideas around space. So it was a good opportunity to come in and work at a startup that was commercializing optical communications, which is also known as laser communications. So I was the first employee of BridgeCom, you know, back a number of years ago. And now the company's, you know, grown and done very well around commercializing optical communications for satellites. They closed their Series A about a year or so ago. They're growing, getting very good business. So they're doing very well.
Yeah, that's great. And now you've switched over to this new field, and it's really blowing my mind, learning about the world of quantum communications and how that's going to be needed and addressed even in space. So your new company is called Spectral Space, with a Q, of course, for the quantum aspect.
Yes, that's
it. Very nice. So share with us a little bit about how, first of all, how this came about.
Sure. And it turns out that optical and quantum communications are very similar technologies. So at the time when I was working at BridgeCom, we would go to these conferences where they would, you know, that were focused on free space optical communications. And they'd always have these sessions where they talked about quantum communications. And, you know, at the time it was very fascinating, but it was a bit early, a lot more focused on research and scientific papers, but it definitely seemed like a very new and interesting field, that provides a very important capability for future satellites. So that was kind of how I originally started getting knowledgeable about this new field.
That's great. And before we talk even more specifically about Spectral, I understand that computing is really going to be switching over to quantum computing in general, eventually, probably without a doubt. But you're not a quantum computing company, right? It's actually quantum communications, and it's and the application here. And the important thing is it will be keeping quantum computers safe. And so it's really about security. Is that right?
That is absolutely correct. You know yourself. You know, quantum computing and quantum communications are both fall under this broad umbrella of what they call quantum technologies. So we get a lot of confusion with people that think we are a quantum computing company. We are not. Quantum computing, very basically, is taking particles that are entangled, and they are trapping them. And there's a number of ways they do that, and they manipulate them to get what they call qubits. And these qubits are a new way of processing information to do very complex problems. Now, that's a whole different field. It's a lot of major companies and major investments are working on this. We're a different field where we use entangled photons. Photons are particles of light, and because they're particles of light, they move at the speed of light. And so my colleagues like to call it flying qubits. So even though they're kind of much different applications and much different technologies, they both rely on manipulating the quantum properties of small particles. So that's why they're both got that label of quantum computing, quantum communications.
That's great. And so now let's talk a little bit more about spectral space. You've launched out of a university in Singapore. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so quantum communications was invented roughly about 30 years ago with some groundbreaking papers written in the 80s and 90s. There were a number of research labs, research groups, and universities that started with these papers and started doing some kind of research and experiments with it. One of the leaders was the National University of Singapore. About roughly around 2000, they set up a quantum research group that eventually became the Center for Quantum Technologies. It got very well funded by the government of Singapore. They brought in Arthur Eckert. He's one of the original inventors of the quantum communications QKD protocols to run it. And they put together a very advanced lab and research group around doing some groundbreaking work with this new technology.
So really, your company is a tech transfer company from that university.
Yeah, we like to think we're a spin-out.
A spin-out.
A spin-out, kind of, it's just, I look at it similar to, Google was a spin-out of Stanford, all these great startups, start with researchers that, see a commercial application for their research, and form a startup around it. So
Right.
we're kind of in that same vein.
You're commercializing this technology.
That is correct.
Yeah, great. So I'm wondering about clarifying a little bit more. We've already talked about qubits a little bit, the flying qubits. Do you want to clarify a little bit more about that before we
Sure.
talk about your actual satellite?
Yeah.
So QKD is quantum key distribution. How does that fit?
So quantum key distribution is an application for quantum communications. So the way quantum communications works, again, it's similar to optical communications where you start with a laser. Optical communications modulates a laser to send a high data rate, 10 gigabit per second, across great distances. Quantum communications, we essentially turn down the power of the laser, so you're getting streams of individual photons. And then what you do is you manipulate the quantum properties of those photons so that if I'm sending maybe you're on a satellite and you're a ground station, if I'm sending you those photons, if a bad guy, an eavesdropper, intercepts those photons instead of you, the quantum properties are broken and we both know it. So it's a low data rate, but very secure application. It's as far as I know, the only type of communication where we would both know if somebody tries to eavesdrop or intercept, the link, the message.
And it's very difficult for that to happen in the first place, right? Because it's not like RF where it's a very
Sure.
broad area.
Well, absolutely. And for people who are very worried about security, this is the ultimate in security. It's guaranteed and backed by the law of physics.
I love that. Guaranteed by the laws of physics.
It's the protocols that were written have been undergone nearly 30 years, 30 years of scrutiny within the security and scientific community, and no way to kind of overcome this has been found yet. So it's considered very secure.
Okay, Dave, can you share more with us about the problem really that this solves, that QKD solves?
Sure, happy to. So quantum key distribution is a way to securely distribute encryption keys. Now, the way keys are distributed today is through public key encryption. The vast majority of encryption keys are submitted through this algorithmic cryptographic method. And then those keys are used to encrypt your messages, your very valuable and sensitive data. So far, public key encryption has not been cracked. It's computationally intensive and it's very difficult. But quantum computers, once they reach a certain capability, can crack existing public key encryption protocols within seconds. And this is a known issue. A number of groups are aware of it. It's just a matter of when quantum computers are going to get to that point. Is it 5 years away? Is it 10 years away? QKD is a method of replacing public key encryption that will be much more secure. Cannot be cracked by any known method, and is really necessary for providing encryption keys to replace public key encryption.
Now, this is really all very forward-thinking stuff, right? You're talking about what's going to happen when, after computing switches to quantum computing, which is really inevitable, and so you're really thinking ahead about security.
Yeah, we want to get this up as an infrastructure to offer to anybody who needs secure communications, well ahead of what they call that point, which is called the quantum apocalypse. Now, an interesting note for you too. Before we reach that point, there's a point called quantum supremacy. And this is where quantum computers have advanced up to the point where they are more capable than the most advanced supercomputer available today. And you may have seen this in the news, but Google leaked recently that they reached that level.
They were working with NASA on that project, right?
That is correct. NASA inadvertently released the paper announcing this, and it was retracted. But the news is out. It spread like wildfire. Quantum supremacy has been reached. Now, that quantum computer, according to the paper, is roughly around 50 qubit capability. And you roughly need around 4,000 qubits before you hit quantum apocalypse, before public key encryption could be easily cracked. So it's just a matter of time before Google, Alibaba, IBM, Intel, all these groups that are working in quantum computing, in their race to reach that level, achieve that point.
This is all happening a lot more quickly than we realize, I have a feeling.
Yes, I think that was another reason why there's a lot of interest in the system we're developing, because there's a concern that quantum computing is racing forward much quicker than Moore's Law predicts. And then we may be reaching a quantum apocalypse before, even people expect.
So your satellite, I believe, went up to the International Space Station in April.
Yep.
Was it April?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then in July, I believe.
June,
the astronaut Nick Hague,
yep,
who is featured in this magazine here on a regular basis with his photos of the Earth, was the one who actually launched your satellite from the space station in June, which is really a wonderful coincidence for us. And it was really very exciting. One of these days, we're going to ask Nick all about that, actually. So it's been on orbit since June. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what is going on with your satellite that's in orbit?
So the satellite name is Spooky One, again with a Q.
I think there's Spooky, love it.
Spooky-1, and I guess that's the rule. If you're a quantum company, you have to have a Q in it, I guess. That was one of those things. But Spooky-1 was built and developed as a research project at CQT. A lot of the engineers at my company worked on it when they were researchers at CQT to do some demonstration of this quantum payload, what we call an entangled photon source. It was, like you said, deployed from the ISS. The professor Alex Ling, he's the lead researcher at CQT. They run through the payload. They've done a number of tests on it. So keep an eye out, because they'll release a scientific paper on this with the results probably next year sometime. But, I'll give you a little spoiler. The payload performed well.
That's really great. So it's actually on orbit. It's actually testing. And so far, so good. Things are looking great.
Yes.
My understanding is that you're the only commercial company currently testing QKD on orbit in the world.
Yes.
And that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, now I would like to point out here too that there is one other group that has on-orbit demonstration of QKD, quantum key distribution, and that's the Chinese. So
the Chinese government?
Yes. So they launched a satellite called Misius a few years ago, a couple years ago, that made a lot of headlines. When people Google QKD, that's the first hit it comes up, because that satellite did three groundbreaking experiments, including various flavors of QKD. So they definitely have the lead. Because of the success of that satellite, the Chinese government has now committed many more billions of dollars into further launching more satellites as part of a QKD, what they call the QKD internet, or the quantum internet. And so they've definitely got a very advanced design and a very advanced system. Now, our strength really is, number one, more commercial, like you said. So we've got a commercial focus on what we're offering. But the other thing we have, too, is our team, the CQT team, has spent a lot of time and effort taking a very large and complex set of quantum optics and miniaturizing it to fit on a CubeSat, roughly the size of a loaf of bread. The Chinese launched a very large satellite that was 630 kilograms. So their system is bigger, heavier, a little more capable. So we're kind of went to a direction where we're trying to get to a small size, compact package, and something that is more, that is inexpensive. Because we feel that for a commercial solution, that's the key. You have to offer something that is can be launched very rapidly at a good price point.
And who are your potential customers? Who are you talking to about this so far?
So we got kind of two groups that we're talking to. The long-term plan is to offer this as a capability for banks and financial institutions, telecommunication companies, other groups like that that need very secure links between with their communications. And then on the other side of that is to the group who else needs secure communications but the government. Military organizations, State Department, organizations like that. So we're getting good traction with both groups. Though to be honest, the government agencies are the most near-term interest because, again, they've been working on this. And the need for security, you can imagine, those guys are the first to need this.
You know what's really impressive about our government, really, the federal government, is that they really are pushing the envelope, testing things. They're aware of what's coming. I've been doing this for 16 years now, and it is one of the biggest epiphanies for me when I go to the Geospatial Intelligence Symposium and all these conferences, and you really see they really are incredibly on top of it. And there's good reasons for that. I mean, with NQTEL and DARPA and all these organizations doing the research, I did not, as a civilian, citizen, average person, I should say, before I started doing this, I really was not aware of that. And it's something that people should be aware of.
Yeah. And so, one of the things we did, we were formed and funded earlier this year. We got seed investment from Space Angels and six other investors. And with that, we stood up a U.S. office specifically to address U.S. government market and business. And that company was called Spectral Quantum Technologies, SQT, and was selected for an Air Force-sponsored accelerator called Catalyst Accelerator. And that accelerator was there specifically to connect interesting technology with the Air Force and the DoD community. And that's really been a great opportunity for us to go and show off this system and design to the U.S. government. And, now that being said, there's a lot of interest in quantum with different organizations within the government. But I think they were all very surprised at how quickly, or the capabilities of the Chinese when they launched that satellite. So there was a bill that was passed the end of December last year called the Quantum Initiative Act that allocated $1.2 billion kind of as a response to that Chinese mission that's there to help kind of bring up the U.S. capabilities and for the benefit of a number of agencies and also private companies like ours. So we're now very active talking to a number of different groups about supporting their missions and planning and getting, you know, again, a quantum communication system on their satellites very rapidly.
That's great. And it's a good point. I mean, as cutting edge as our government is and knowing that this is important and committing to that and actually putting those resources toward it, I do think sometimes we get in our silos and we forget to watch what these other countries are doing. And China is really one of those that in technology is really, really pushing the envelope.
Yeah. And I, you know, give credit where credit's due because, you know, they invested in a good design, invest in a good team, and they're putting a lot more investment into it. So I like to tell that to people that, you know, they are the leaders and they plan to be the leaders in this, my colleague was at a conference about a month ago where they announced they're putting up four more LEO satellites and a GEO satellite, as well as terrestrial fiber optic QKD links as part of a broader vision for, like I said, this quantum internet. So they're committed.
Will the quantum internet be just for China or is it global?
No, I think their intention is to market this, you know, globally.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some aspect that they'll do only internally within their country, but this they do have plans to connect the world with this.
So that's fascinating when at this very moment, OneWeb is doing internet with satellites, but not quantum, correct?
Yes.
And other companies are also working on this global internet from satellites concept. But that's the first time I've ever heard right this minute talking to you, Dave, is the first time I've heard that the Chinese are thinking of doing that with quantum technology. That is fascinating as well, right? That's just another example of how.
Yeah, this is fresh news. I mean, this was at a conference just a few weeks ago that they made these announcements. I think that's the other thing that's surprising people too, is that they are very open about their ambitions around
right.
They are the leaders and they want to stay the leaders. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, we like to, you know, kind of pride ourselves to say, yeah, we're leading in all these different areas. But, you know, again, as a country, they are the number one in this area. Absolutely.
So just to clarify this, and their government has put in the investment to the research to make it happen. But they will also be commercializing with this intention to do a global internet with quantum.
Yeah, I believe so.
Probably, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I think that what you're doing is really, really cutting edge, and I'm so excited to speak with you about it today. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, again, I like this opportunity to kind of introduce you and your readers to this new technology. You know, like I said, quantum key distribution is one application for this technology, what we call, you know, broader quantum communications, which is also part of broader quantum technologies. When you do research on this topic, you'll see QKD or quantum cryptography described a lot. And just to be clear, that is an application where you use quantum communications to distribute securely encryption keys. And then these encryption keys will be used for encrypting the normal communications across the thing. But that being said, we're also excited because under quantum communications, with these entangled photons, there's some pretty incredible things you can do. So that's also one of the things we're looking at as a company is some of these other future applications besides just delivery of encryption keys. This is maybe the first time your readers are hearing about this, but it won't be the last. This will be more and more in the news in the next decade as more and more of these breakthroughs are made. So very fascinating stuff.
And pay attention to these U.S. companies. There's really a lot going on, and we're thrilled to share this with you. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Thank you.